Welcome to The Local Point. My name is Andrew Day and I'm the leader of Warwick District Council. This is an informal, behind-the-scenes conversation with people who are shaping the policies and programs, touching lives right across Warwick District and thrashing through some of the real issues we're working on at the moment across the district. Well, here we are in a new year, 2023. Can we remember that? Get the 2-3 into our... We don't write checks anymore, so I don't need to worry about bouncing any checks as a result of getting the wrong date. But welcome, everybody. Welcome to a new year. Let's hope it's a happy, shiny year with a bit more joy than we had in 22, in my view. And I'm blessed, I really mean that, today to have Gurdip Chatha. Correctly printed Chatha, thank you very much. Here from SK Beauty, and I have to say, looking beautiful if those who are watching with all the glamour. So, fantastic to have you join us today, Gurdip. And really, we're also here to talk about your role on the bid and what's happening in our business community. So, thank you for coming in. So hopefully, survived a busy Christmas trading period. And I've also got Adam Dent, the erstwhile. Adam Dent, famous for me at least in all the work that we've done together through the Coventry and Warwickshire Local Enterprise Partnership, and also through your communications firm and how you've been working with us across Coventry and Warwickshire. We look forward to hearing your views on our place and how we should be approaching 2023 from a business point of view. But welcome all. Today is really centred on the important business of business and how are we going to be shaping the future in Leamington Spa and across Warwick District for our businesses so that we can live in a prosperous community, as we do. But we've really got to keep a focus on that, I think, in this year in particular, which is proving already somewhat challenging economically. I'm going to come first, if I may, to Gurdip. Now, you know your business has been around for a while. You're not I know you're not the founder, but in so many ways you employ a number of people. Can you tell us a bit more about what you do at SK?
Of course. So SK has been in Leamington Spa for over 24 years. I've been with SK 17 years, so I feel like almost forever. And we employ 15 staff at the moment. We've been in the heart of Leamington Spa for all of that time. We're founded in Leamington. Amy, my business partner, has founded the business. So we've won Son of the Year twice.
Wow. So if I'm feeling stressed out, can you help me out with a massage or straighten out my pedicure or whatever it is I need doing?
Absolutely. Yeah. Massages, we do... facials, we do a lot of results driven facials. A lot of people, as we age, and I'm now 50, so you know, getting to that age, and it's like, you know, what do I do? And people don't want to necessarily go under the knife or have Botox, especially our generation, and we'd rather go for results driven facials and try and be as naturally young looking as we can be.
So you'd even take on a 61-year-old bloke like me?
Absolutely.
It's a big job.
our average age, you know, can vary from 35 upwards.
And you get people coming in from all around the district, or is
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. And from London.
And from London.
All over the place. Okay. When you find, it's a bit like a good hairdresser.
Yeah.
You find a good salon that you trust and you like going to, you tend to stay loyal.
It's incredibly personal, though, isn't it? I mean, this is a really personal service.
Yes. So, I mean, it's one of a few services where, you know, it's intimate. You're touching your client with their permission. It is incredibly a privileged role. And when you do work at that level, you have some real trust with each other. And often clients will share stuff that they probably have shared with nobody. Mm. So you're a real safe space. You know,
wow, so, we've needed some of that. Absolutely. And then, of course, over these years, you must have seen enormous change in Leamington Spa.
Absolutely, yeah.
And in the business world.
Absolutely. You know, if you go back 24 years ago, people were writing on a piece of paper the diaries. You know how everything is...
Do you remember the first fax machine?
Yep.
Oh, I know, yes. It's frightening.
on a side note, you've got... We're now employing Z-Gens, which is sort of really young... people, you know, and I could relate to millennials because my children were millennials, you know, my children 27 and 28.
Yeah.
And now the Z-Gens, which again is a new breed, and it's like, how do I relate to younger generation? And on a quick side note, because I love stories. I was off to see Guns N' Roses, and you all know who Guns N' Roses are. And one of my girls that worked for me, she's 19, and she said, enjoy the theatre, won't you?
The theatre?
And I says, you don't know who Guns N' Roses are, do you? She goes, no. I says, it's a rock band. She went, oh, dear. You know, so again, it's relating, and that will come into recruitment. How different our new generation are coming through. And you've got to stay relevant. Relevant to clients as well as to staff.
But actually, that's the strength in a business, of personal service businesses, all generations. It means you can respond to all generations of clients.
Absolutely.
And you're inclusive in that way.
We have clients from the age of 18 right up to their 90s.
Wow.
And anything in between. Wow. And you've got an 18-year-old to live in a treatment.
Do you get blokes in as well as...
We do. I'd say about between 5 to 10% of our clients are men.
Okay.
Because they too, a lot of people say working at a desk, typing away, is the new smoking, because you are just sat in that position, your shoulders around it. So bad for you. It is terrible. And I'm just as guilty. And you go into treatment, your back is as solid as concrete. Mm. And that all needs breaking down. So it is just as important. Anyone that sat on a desk should be having regular massage.
Well, there we go, Adam. We should be there.
If you need any excuse, that's your excuse.
I'm going to come back and talk to you a bit more about the other things that you managed to do in your life and all the other volunteer roles.
All my hats.
Yes. Yes, but particularly about BID and so on in our local business community. But before we do that, let's have a chat with Adam.
Yes. I'm more in need of scaffolding.
That's
what I need to prop up various bits.
Now, you're a Kenilworth boy?
I live in Kenilworth.
You live in
Originally,
Kenilworth?
I'm from West Midlands, further West Midlands from Shropshire.
Okay, we'll forgive you that. Okay, right. I came from even further afield.
Yeah, you did.
Seems like all the good guys get dragged into this, into Warwick and Warwick District. Adam, we've worked together in various ways over the years, but I've been particularly interested to talk to you today about the work you're doing with the CW Champions and what you're seeing there. But just for context, can you talk to me a bit about what you've done in the local enterprise partnership and your work with Advent and as a communications company?
Yeah, so we're the office is based in Coventry. We're now, it's very similar, 25 years old, coming up. My background is originally, I'm a journalist, a sports journalist, and I worked for this, now this does date me, but I worked for the Coventry Evening Telegraph covering Coventry City when they're in the Premiership.
Wow.
And then decided to leave and set up a PR firm by myself. But because of the nature of what we did, we then had to employ people with that journalistic training or experience. And actually, that served us really well when it comes to PR. So we now employ very similar numbers, sort of 14, 15. And we work for a wide variety of clients. And it might be anything from crisis media management through to social media strategy, through to video. But primarily, it is still the written word, dealing with the media a lot, trying to raise companies' profile. And that's we do that for, we're sort of sector agnostic, so we do it from everybody from a security bollard firm through to the universities. And then the work we've done with the LEP, we work with the LEP from inception.
Yeah.
I think with almost sounding biased, but I think when you look at the results of LEPs across the country, one of the most successful LEPs.
Definitely.
For people who don't know, that really is getting, and there's some key things to why I think it's been so successful here, is getting the private and the public sector together. When government comes and wants to invest, it goes through the local voice of public sector and private sector, always chaired by a private sector person. Mm. And I think it's made everybody more responsible. I think it's made people more responsive. Mm. And I think it's brought the public and private sector together in a way that, I'll be honest with you, I never thought would happen. The first LEP meeting I was at, I remember a private sector person saying, well, I agree with Eric Pickles. What the only difference between terrorists and planners is you can negotiate with terrorists. And I remember thinking, this is not going to work very well. But actually, once you got those barriers stripped away, everybody was around that table because they wanted the best for Coventry and Warwickshire.
And,
that's what I think has been a real sea change.
You're so absolutely right. My experience towards the end of the LEP as a board member, it got to projects and got things done that nobody else was able to get done.
Yeah.
I mean, even locally, that work at Leamington Station had been passed by and by and by and by. And because of the LEP, there was real investment brought in, and it's dramatically improved that space.
And this is being somebody who's interested in words, obviously, we want to do that. The interesting thing is, as we've gone on, we now start off saying Coventry and Warwickshire are, we now say Coventry and Warwickshire is. And yeah. that's a really big difference. When I first came here, Warwickshire didn't have a lot to do with Coventry and vice versa. I don't think the local authorities, particularly maybe at senior officer level, but apart from that, didn't cooperate that closely. Yeah. And I think they now know each other. And when big telling moment for me, when Coventry was awarded City of Culture, their dancing in joy on the balcony at the Belgrade Theatre was Izzy Second, now the leader of Warwickshire. Now, that, to me, has been something that's carried on. And I just hope in the days when the let is finished because of government policy, that cooperation between the areas, but most crucially, I think, between the public and private sector continues.
Part of the work of the LEP has been also about helping create the CW champions,
yes.
which you're the erstwhile, as I said earlier, compere of and organiser of. Yep. I know you're always looking for speakers.
We are.
And what's impressed me most is the variety and mix of people you've got in. It's an early morning start, Gerda. I go along, I'm still a bit bleary-eyed. I get a cup of coffee every now and then. I am absolutely stunned at what Adam manages to bring forward.
Yeah.
Now, that is something is even more important now, really, is it not, with the end of the LEP?
I was pretty boring before, but it has made me very much a Coventry and Warwickshire bore because we have unearthed some people that we didn't know exist. I do have to say, there is a manager of the programme, obviously, Nick Erskine, and we work together and line up the speakers, and we have raison d'etre is a couple of things. We either want to get people speaking who have a connection with Coventry and Warwickshire who people haven't heard before. So that might be somebody with a business who's got something exciting to say. It might be somebody who happens to live in our area who may run a business of national importance in London, but they have got a route to this area, or somebody you might have heard before, but they have to be announcing something new. Because my own experience was, having been a member of various network things over the years, they start really well for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then, this sounds dreadful, but you then get charity speaking or initiative speaking. And then you have the same speaker again that you heard 3 months, and slowly they die. And we're now 10 years old. We are this week probably going to close the draw on our event at the Warwick Arts Centre because we've reached maximum.
I'm looking forward to that.
And we have unearthed some people. We found a lady who from Coventry, whose company won the special effects Oscar, beating Star Wars to win the Oscar, through to entrepreneurs in Warwick who were the gentleman behind Pure Recycling, who's now got a unit where you just throw your garbage in when you come into the kitchen and that provides enough heat to heat your house. Yeah. Some really fantastic,
really clever
people. Yeah. And we then started a thing called Next Gen, where we really think it's important to try and highlight some of the generation you were talking about, Gerdip. And we've, again, found some amazing people. A young lad who worked for Barclays, and you think, you know, he's come through university. No. He was out in Afghanistan as a first aider working for the army, you know, literally said running across the battlefield with two colleagues. By the time we got to the other end, he was the only one still alive. And now he's bringing that experience into business. So some fascinating people. And I do think it works in most areas, but we have such a diverse economy here.
You also have a really good rule about not letting any politicians speak.
I didn't want to say that. Because I'm aware that Councillors Day and maybe O'Boyle might be listening to this.
Yeah.
No, what we've sort of said is we will really try and, because we want it to be about business. So people, and the whole idea is that network, the reason it's called Champions is people then go out and champion the area. And we have lots of, I think actually, the council representatives who attend learn more from
we
it
do.
By the fact it isn't councillors talking.
No, I completely agree.
You keep it apolitical, therefore you don't. It doesn't become divisive, otherwise it can be.
I think we've had two exceptions down the years. We had Andy Street, because there hadn't been a mayor of the West Midlands before, so it didn't matter what party it was from. And the other one we did during lockdown, when we kept them going online, we thought it was appropriate to have Nadeem Zahawi when he was in charge of the vaccination programme.
Which was nationally a very significant moment. But also, I learned things about local businesses by going along to Champions, funnily enough, so as a local council leader. So for me, it's quite a safe place. I don't feel I'm going to get attacked on anything. I can actually just engage and really get a good sense of the sort of mood out there, if you like, in the business community. But it struck me very strongly, Adam, that what it did was create for me a sense of a better understanding of the place of Coventry and Warwickshire, which is about a million people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's right in the middle of the country. It has got a very strong economic base, very diverse economic base, and I really didn't understand that. And as a council leader, you get there not by reading lots of economic policy papers, actually, but by getting to these sorts of events.
And I think that was the key behind the LEPs. So when LEPs were formed, Louise Bennett and Nadeem Zahawi went down to Parliament to say Coventry and Warwick should have one. And I think the view was that we were too small. But when they were able to explain that we are an economic entity and we have a huge live and drive to work area within itself, that was enough. Yeah, that was enough to sort of persuade them. And while LEPs are moving on and coming to an end, Champions is going to carry on under the auspices of the Growth Hub, which is continuing, which I think is important.
It is very, very important. And actually, it's all the pieces do fit together. It's sometimes difficult to understand exactly where they connect.
Yeah.
But once you do see that, it really, you can really start to get things moving in a positive way. We saw that during COVID. We saw that in the way, for example, as a local authority, we were in the top six in the country for getting grants to businesses.
Absolutely.
But we did that, Adam, by working really closely with the BID and with your team there, Gerda.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to talk about the BID? Is the Business Improvement District?
It is indeed,
correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And we've been around for sort of 15 years now. I've been involved with the BID for 10 years and sat on the board, and it's all voluntary. It's your own time. But if you've got a business in the town, and, you know, I would recommend if there are vacancies on the board, and we do have a number, two or three, get involved, because it's your voice. It's your voice in the town centre. And that's why I got involved. I wanted to have a voice. I wanted to support the BID in helping give the whole businesses a voice. And it's not always easy, because we're not the decision makers, but we are definitely able to, you know, together, the better you'll be heard.
Definitely.
And it's always a challenge, whatever you're doing, but at least we're trying to get through things together. And Leamington is a lovely place to be. Adam, I was born in Coventry, my business is in Leamington, but I live in Warwick, so I sort of cover all the areas.
And your clients come from all over, really, from London, you were saying.
I spent 12 years in the north in between all of that. Funny enough, working for a scaffolding company.
Oh, right, there you are. But actually,
what you've
touched on, which I find with, particularly with the Leamington BID, and we do some work for them, it's that in all business, it's about A, putting in, you get out what you put in, but B, actually, it's about being positive, isn't it?
I mean,
this probably won't go down very well with you, Andrew, but I remember before you were on the council, Steph, who runs the BID, decided she wanted to boost car parking over Christmas. So she hired some students in white coats, and they were the parking angels.
Yeah.
So if you were short in those days before Ringo and park by phone or whatever, pay by park, they had they walked around with 20p's, and if you were slightly short of your change, they would give them to you. And it was getting great publicity. But the best thing she did, they all had these long trumpets. And if they saw a traffic warden, they would all start playing the trumpet. Everybody, but that got a national public. And actually, everybody thought, well, that's a town centre doing something for businesses
and
doing something
fun
for the public.
In the 10 years I've been there, we've taken Leamington to Chelsea, which was phenomenal.
I know,
we
Sarah
got
Horn,
hundreds sorry, of thousands of pounds worth of publicity behind that for Leamington. And we've still got the Arbour, which is in Jefferson Gardens, you know, needs probably a little bit more love, but it's there. And, you know, the story and the legacy that we're trying to put out there. And we've got some great businesses in the town centre, loads of independent. Sarah on the Florist, she did that along with a colleague, and it was brilliant for the town centre. Absolutely brilliant.
But if you think all that energy started with BIDs before you knew the threat of online retail, if that hadn't have started, you know, the effects of online retail on the high street would be magnified.
But it is what if I may say, I think what we're in at the moment is a seed change in the whole concept of retail and what we expect to find in our town centres, why people come to our town centres.
Yeah.
The funding we got for the Future High Streets Fund is enabling us to address, and you'll hear more about this soon, some of the fabric issues on our, particularly in Leamington. But actually, the whole mix of business has changed more. You know, traditionally, funnily enough, Leamington was built and born because it was a health spa. What you're doing at SK is actually bang on exactly what Leamington started doing. It's interesting about the parking piece that Steph did as well, because I grew up on the Gold Coast in Queensland. Yep. It's not beautiful exactly place. Politically correct. We had a thing called meter maids, which were gorgeous women in gold bikinis that would go around feeding the parking meters.
So too cold here. Forget any political correctness, it's just too cold.
I suspect Steph has probably picked up, being a good Kiwi, has probably picked up that idea there. But you're right, it's about being supportive and making it a good place to come into.
Yeah.
But the offer's got to evolve and change, hasn't it?
Yeah, and the offer's got to be relevant. I mean, there's lots of businesses that, you know, want to come to Leamington. Mm. And I think the council are doing a brilliant job supporting, but there's always room for improvement.
Of course there is.
Let's be honest. And, you know, I've been made aware. It's interesting when you go to the hairdressers. They tell
people
you
talk.
Everything. They tell you everything about everybody. And I went this morning and it coincided with today. And they spoke about certain businesses that wanted to come into the town, but there was reasons why they couldn't make it happen, whether it was to do with planning and signage, or whether it was to do with your anchor businesses that were in the town centre aren't here anymore, and that's put them off. So these are the conversations we need moving forward. How do we attract these big businesses that want to come to Leamington? Because the independents are brilliant and we wouldn't be who we are without them. But the independents also need the support of some anchor businesses to keep us
together,
going.
Keep the footfall.
Keep
and part of that too, and we're doing a refresh, a new, brand new local plan, is thinking about Leamington in a different way, in that to support the independents, how do we have smaller units that are good, functioning, you know, easy to move in, easy to move out units, that you could trial a business for 6 months and not feel you're going to do your shirt on it. And if it doesn't work, move out and another one comes in, because that gives it a vibrancy.
Yeah.
But also, how do we make Leamington a place that's a great place to live in its own right?
Yeah.
You know, the challenge is that new housing, if you like, is out of town.
Yeah.
And what that removes, in effect, is the footfall from the centre of town.
Mm.
People live there. It's a different sort of community.
It's interesting. I think we've got to be also thankful for what we've got. And over the years, I've done quite a lot of work with Bill Waring, who runs Waring & Company. And I remember a few years ago, and I don't know what it's called, the sort of ramp from Regent Street up to Royal Priors, he'd done the deal that bought Carluccio's in and Cath Kitson opposite. And I was chatting to him about it, and he said, well, if you're a Birmingham, you've got Selfridges, you've got the theatres, you're going to get almost, in inverted commas, a national audience to go there. If you're Leamington, you've got cafe houses, maybe not independents, but niche shops still, you know, Bang & Olufsen, Neil's Yard, all those sorts of. So you're going a bit of cafe society, and that's great because that drives footfall. What do you do when you're a my home city, a Wolverhampton or a Northampton? And I think those middle-sized provincial cities that haven't got that sort of offer are the ones, you know, we've got a lot more to be grateful for, I think,
absolutely,
in terms of, I mean, apart from anything else, what an environment we've got, you know, and that be at Warwick, Kenilworth, Stratford, all across this area of Warwickshire is fantastic, really.
One of my passions has always been, I think you're aware of it, Andrew, is that we bring the spa waters back to Leamington.
Yeah.
Because
not to drink, please.
Not to drink, to bathe. To bathe, definitely.
Prefer the
not
beer.
To drink. But just, to, you know, we're a spa town.
Yeah.
And how wonderful if we get our spa waters back working and up and running. And, you know, people love spa towns. When I first... it was 30 years ago, there was probably a handful of spas in the country. Mm. Now there are thousands.
Mm.
And people want to go somewhere where they can relax and switch off and have a really nice time.
Exactly.
You know, people are changing what's important to them, you know.
Yeah.
And we could embrace that. And this is about keeping
idea.
It positive. You
yeah.
know, embrace what we've got. You know, it's a capital. That water is a capital that doesn't cost anything.
Well, and it's interesting. I thought that thing about the environment, you know, general environment, I don't mean the green environment necessarily, was brought home to our last champions meeting when we had the CEO of Bravissimo.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, they moved up to London, partially for cost and convenience and centre of the country. But I gather part of it was a little bit of the business moved up. And then all the guys in, I think they're in Chiswick, were hearing from all the people in Leamington going, why the hell are you down there? Look what you can buy for your money up here. Look how fantastic the town is.
Yeah.
And they are totally sold on it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we've got a lot to be grateful for. But you can rest on your laurels and let it slip if you're not careful.
We've got to keep working at that. And I think part of it is getting the message out there. And this is... You know, in your domain, in effect, I mean, you've been a real... I mean, I love the way at the end of the Champions session, you remind us to go out there today and say something positive about Coventry and Warwickshire. And it's a good reminder because there's a lot of, if you don't mind me saying, and it's not just the BBC, but there's a lot of really negative stuff. If we can find an awful thing, the word crisis has lost all meaning as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
When someone says something positive, I sort of like, it shines. So it's a big energy charge for me.
Well, I think that's attitude. And we say to the team at, I should say PLMR Advent now,
yep,
to the youngsters, that you say yes to a client and find a reason to make that happen, mm-hmm, rather than say no because you think there might be some reasons that it won't happen.
Yeah.
Because if you can do that in life, in sport, in culture, in business, then things are much more fun apart from anything else.
Is it in part, and I'd want to come back to you about your business as well there, because is it in part though that we've become more academic, that it's you're clever if you can find 1,000 reasons to not do something, but you're brave and maybe foolhardy if you find the one good reason that it can happen and then commit to it?
I think there's an over reliance sometimes on structures. So we deal with some bigger organizations where people perhaps slightly down the food chain are a bit reluctant to say, yes, we'll do that, because there's a ladder above them that might say, well, no, you can't do it for this policy or that decision or what have you. And I think that is difficult. So people, possibly in small businesses, are almost a bit more emancipated to be allowed to make those decisions. Some don't work. But again, that as young people, that's how you learn.
But you've been, Adam was really brave with us, Gerda. Early on, when I was naive, I'd been elected as leader. I still didn't know, I probably still don't know what I'm meant to be doing. But anyway, but we took on a challenge where we really identified there was a need for local investment in climate action projects.
Yeah.
And we struck a cross-party deal with all the leaders. In fact, all councillors voted unanimously. Mm-hmm. And we engaged. The councillors themselves put money in the pot because the council couldn't. And we engaged Adam and your team for the W Warwick District Can piece. Now, Adam was great. If you don't mind, save your blushes.
No, I don't mind you saying it at all. But, when I go home, that would be great.
But literally got a website up in no time, got all the social media working, got us all keyed into the local press. And we ran a campaign to increase council tax by £1 a week for a Bandee property to create this hypothecated or ring-fenced fund to invest in climate projects.
Yeah.
And it was going, we did not have any opposition up to the referendum. Now, the referendum was to be in May of 2020. And, of course, the first lockdown happened on the 24th of March 2020.
Yeah.
Literally the day after Adam had me, I was with Sophie.
Sophie Ridge from Sky. We got up to come and do something on it nationally.
She came up to Leamington to interview us for this really weird council that was about to do something really weird. And it was thanks to Adam and his team that got us that place.
You say that, and I think the big thing that makes that sort of thing work is when you've got total buy-in from all the different parties. So it is, Warwick District, in that case, wanting this to happen, rather than the Labour or Conservative or Liberal.
It was cross-party, genuine.
That's the big thing. If you can get with a large P, the politics sorted first, before you do something, you're carrying people with you. Sometimes people go too quickly. You've got to get that sorted, the groundwork sorted, foundation sorted. Once you go with that, then you stand much more chance for success.
And even though we weren't able to go ahead with the referendum, what it has done is given us real political bind. And we've done a lot of new planning policies, so we'll be the first planning authority in the country to have zero carbon housing. There's been revolution, but it stemmed from that.
Yeah.
But Adam, you've gone through a bit of this was Advent Communications at the time. You were the local outfit, so to speak.
Yeah.
But you've now drawn in a lot more resource through partnership, a national outfit.
Yeah,
now.
We got bought last, not last October, October before now, by a London-based company called PLMR, who have a Birmingham office. They employ about 100. What's really interesting, been eye-opening, I think it's been interesting for them coming to see the sort of energy that you talked about in Coventry and in Warwickshire. It was really interesting that some of the guys from London knew, because they're based in Westminster, knew about Leamington and been up here. A lot of them were absolutely amazed at what had gone on in the centre of Coventry.
Mm.
At all the planning meetings happened at the Telegraph Hotel.
Yeah.
I know a couple of them have come up and stopped as a result of doing that and came to City of Culture. It's been really interesting for us because what they are very strong in political representation.
Mm-hmm.
So the CEO was the, I think, head of public affairs for the Department of Education under Margaret Gove for a few years. So that's sort of, it's opened our eyes to perhaps this area. You know, how important, it's a dirty word now, lobbying is, but representation is at a national level. And I always think that's something we could do, do better. Now, that helps by having, you know, when you had got Nadeem Zahawi, and this is an apolitical point, wouldn't matter which party was in, when you've got somebody at the centre of government who knows about an area and can bat for an area, I think that sort of makes a difference. And I still think there's work that can be done both across Warwickshire and in Coventry to make sure we've got a lot to shout about. The LEP identified of that we're one of the fastest growing economic areas. Mm. We need to relay that message at Westminster, because it's with, I think, people in business and just members of the public. The constant churn of decision makers at a national level is an issue. And how do these people pick up areas that are strong? How can they decide, you know, like the winding up of LEPs? There's probably been three business ministers since last November. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, that sort of side of it, I think we can still improve on in Coventry and Warwickshire.
I totally agree. There's still some joined up work to be done. So that, I mean, if you look at the history of our area, you know, we've had Jaguar here for forever. My dad worked for the factory many, many moons ago, and it was British Leyland, then became Jaguar. But the fabric and the history in this area, we've got the spa town, we've got the castles, you know, we've got, so, you know, go to Stratford and you've got, you know, you've got William Shakespeare, and we've got so much to shout about in this area. You know, the dwell time for people coming to this area can increase from just being here as a stop off to actually staying here for a number of days.
And I think backed up as well by things such as both universities, you know, really well renowned.
Yeah.
So you're getting some, I remember when, a few years ago now, which I think was the ultimate example of how, as you say, good, cooperating can land something. So I think there were seven cities that bid for that, for the UK Battery Industrialisation Centre.
Yeah. Okay.
And you had a joint bid, I think, between Coventry City Council and University of Warwick, supported by the districts, fed up through the LEP.
Yeah.
The LEP went to government, and when it needed a bit of topping up, they wheeled in Andy Street to just seal the deal. And that was everybody, and there were three different parties involved, politically, really cooperating to deliver
It goes back to your sporting journalism, doesn't it? It's talking like it's a football team.
Team effort, though.
It is a football team.
Everything's a team effort. You said earlier on, you know, your business wouldn't be successful without the younger staff that you've got are learning, training. They wouldn't be as good if you weren't. It's a whole team.
And also, we wouldn't, as a council, have been able to respond as strongly to COVID without the bid. Yeah. It's as simple as that. Yeah. Steph and her team were phenomenal.
She was brilliant. You know, and supported everybody.
And when local businesses come to vote on the ballot, which I believe is coming up in the spring sometime, then they bloody well better get behind you, because it really is a very important voice, the bid.
It is for all the businesses.
When we've got so much change.
Absolutely. When you're the only voice, like, you know, with the LEP going, who is the voice for the town centre businesses? And, you know, you can't do it on your own. There's so many paths. And whereas, you know, Steph's been here for such a long time, and Alison, that they both do such a great job. Their knowledge and what they know and who to talk to is brilliant. And I'll often get somebody, even before I chaired the bid, somebody was like, "All right, we're coming to the area, need to speak to someone, you know, who, you know, we want affluent, you know, women coming to our particular establishment. Where do I go?" She goes, "Well, you need to talk to Gerdin." And they'll just point people to different people. And this was a bar that was opening in the area, and it's still here now. And so they just get people talking to one another. It's back to that basic communication. Who do you know? How can you help each other out? It's same as your background, being in journalism, you know, you'll know more people than anyone that's not in that industry.
Well, and I think as well that I was told years ago by my father, who had a construction firm in Wolverhampton, that people do business with people. And despite screens and everything else, fundamentally that is still the same. Absolutely. And that's a message that I think is going to be difficult for the generation coming up now, whose first 18 months, 2 years in business have been spent on Zoom. I think it's really, really difficult for them. And that throws up the whole dynamic about working from home. Is it right? Levels of flexibility.
It's where it's evolving to, and you're seeing one side of it, go up in your business with the need to deal with people who sit in front of screens all the time, and how their health management is changing, and to address that. But to your point as well, I think what we're seeing in Leamington in particular is the move to more flexible working spaces. I mean, my 27-year-old daughter who's looking at a legal career in London is looking at property in Leamington. I'm going, what are you doing? She said, well, I've got flexible working now, Dad. I don't need to, I'm down there 3 days a week.
We saw somebody yesterday in Birmingham, and the marketing manager's just moving to Eltham in Kent.
There you go.
Or South East London.
And I think we've got to be alive to that. Now where you work doesn't need to be away from where, so far removed from where you live, and the whole sense of sustainable communities come into play. Places like this in One Mill Street, and we're seeing also, you know, through these other office provisions that are coming in, are going to bring more people to work in town, but they won't be there from 9 to 5.
No, they won't.
We
won't
have the same traffic jams, possibly. No, who knows? No. If the council, if we stop digging up the roads, that is. But up a few more.
Like you say, Andrew, it's a positive. You've got to take the positives out of things. So one of the positives out of COVID has made us all embrace technology and our IT support. So everyone's sort of moved forward by about 10 years when it comes to technology.
Yeah.
That we are. Who heard of Zoom before?
Not
anyone. You had Skype, but there wasn't, you know, the facilities as you've got it now. Throughout lockdown of the whole period, we were closed for about 8 months of the whole lockdown period. It was tough, and not just for me, but I was concerned about my team. So you had some young girls who would be sat in their bedroom all day. They couldn't go out, you know, they could only go out for an hour for a walk, and, you know, they were mainly living in their bedrooms. Or, you know, you had the mums with the children, so they were schooling every day. So I was worried about their mental health. So every other week we would have a Zoom meeting, get everyone in for an hour just to talk online, see how, check in with everybody, how you doing. Me and my business partner, we were available for that whole period of time. We used it to update handbooks and all the usual stuff you never get around to doing, but we made ourselves available for the team. And coming back was interesting because a lot of, again, the youngsters were full of anxiety. They hadn't spoken to anybody, let alone deliver a treatment. So you had to encourage them to come back in and feel safe. So we started with a bit of training before they actually, we knew the doors were opening. So it was just, you have to read your staff. And today, you know, historically, when we went for a job, it was your boss would say, you're lucky you've got a job with us. Now we are saying to what? We're lucky to have you.
Yeah.
You know, the language and how you are managing your team is so different.
And you can't help but feel old when you discuss that with youngsters in the office, because that has been such a seismic change.
Yeah.
And also you're both of a size of business, similar size of business, where you're not talking about, you know, you're not talking about hundreds and hundreds of people.
No.
So, I mean, one or two people leaving makes a big difference, or joining makes a really big difference.
And I do think that thing of young people learn off you, and actually working with younger people keeps you young. So I think if you work with younger people, you're more au fait with young culture, with technology, those sort of, and you learn off each other. I mean, I remember the first job I ever had in journalism after I trained. In those days, the contract said you had to live in the circulation area of the newspaper.
Right.
Well, that would not happen.
Yeah.
And on my first day, and I was just a junior reporter, they said, right, on Thursday, we want you to go and cover a parish council somewhere, and it was at 6 o'clock. And I said to my supervisor, well, actually, at 5 o'clock, I'm going to see a bedsit that I've got to rent. First words the editor, I can't repeat what he said, but he turned around to me and said, if you want to work 9 to 5, go away and work in a bank. Mm. And that was the first words he ever said to me. Well, we'd be in front of all sorts of tribunals now.
Yeah.
So I think it's been good for both, for different generations, I think.
It has. I think we're moving to a better place if we can keep the faith and keep focusing on what's important, which is about the quality of the businesses that we're doing and how we work for everybody, not just...
And it brings generations together. I mean, the idea, Andrew, that I presume on Spotify, you probably listen to some bands that your children listen to.
Yeah.
And in our day, as 20-year-olds or whatever, that was a work. So I think the fact we mix intergeneration better than we ever, is fantastic.
Well, it does make me laugh, though, when my daughter came back and said, puts a playlist on and, you know, Fleetwood Mac comes up. And I'm going, you're not listening to Fleetwood Mac.
But they're a new band to her.
They're really cool. I'm going, but come on. You know, it's just, the wheel goes round. Yeah.
It does, and I just think the fact we all mix, you know, you come to what's the age range of people sitting here at Mill Street? I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And both generations should get energy from it, I think.
So we get strength there. We are really fortunate about where we are.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't forget that. I mean, we set in the centre of England, says the Australian, why did I come here? Because of where we are. It's so convenient to do business across the whole of the UK and Europe and actually around the world, given the sort of time zones, etc., of where we sit.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
It is, as well as being an absolutely gorgeous place.
But I think you're right. When you assume that lot of decisions are driven virtually, literally virtually, still where you're located makes a difference.
There's
absolutely no case. I mean, I remember some time ago speaking to the Oliver brothers from the gaming sector, and they were saying to me that Codemasters was in our region, and I'd heard Birmingham AWM say this was all because of a technology corridor.
Advantage West Midlands.
And it was all to do with clusters. And I spoke to this, and he said, that's absolute rubbish, the Oliver brothers said. He said, the Darlings were in Somerset.
Yeah.
And their dad said, there's only two things that have ever successfully come out of Somerset, cider and Ian Botham. So they got a pin.
Yeah.
And they put a pin in the centre of the country.
Story, yeah.
And that's why the gaming sector's here now, because they were all people leaving Codemasters, setting up their own businesses there. Yeah. So actually, we are in a fantastic place.
Do you know why? My business was and still is as a fundraising consultant and consultancy, similar size, you know, 15 to 30 people.
Yeah.
Three of the four fundraising consultancies, the biggest ones in Europe, guess where they're based?
Right, in the Midlands.
Leamington Spa.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you go, and why? Because of that same thing, where we are.
Yeah. I don't know if you've heard this being said before, but I've heard it a few times saying that people see Leamington almost like a suburb of London, even though geographically we're nowhere near that, but that's the feel people have. Mm. So if they are coming out of London, it still feels the same.
Yeah.
As a suburb of London, even though geographically, you know, there's a bit of a distance.
Yeah, and particularly when you get quality, you know, quality lifestyle services and you know, proximity to open country and other benefits. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, I have to say, I think some of our, if you like, social benefits like leisure facilities and parks and, you know, are absolutely top shelf. And we take it for granted very easily.
And that's why I think for business, I hear what everybody's saying and I agree, but it's absolutely imperative for Coventry and for here that we get the transport links to London sorted out again.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had to, so part of the work we do for Champions is we get the opportunity to promote things that they're not clients of ours. If we see a business in the Courier or in the Strap Herald or whatever, and we think that's got national opportunities, we can push that up to nationals. So as a result of that, the Times have a thing called the Good Place, Best Places to Live Guide.
They do, yeah.
Well, you'll notice, in inverted commas, no coincidence, that I think Kenilworth's been in there, Earlston, Coventry, Shipston, Stratford. So we've managed to really punch above our weight.
Mm.
But once you get the journalists from London here, they can't believe you know, what we've got on offer. And the fact we've been asked to compile the list again this year. We've got a client in the East Midlands. And it's funny what sells a city or a town. And they've said, well, an unsung place, Market Harborough, got a market, really nice place. You can get to London in an hour, so that's great. And they said, but because it's not well used, you can get a seat on a train.
Yeah.
And that's a major selling point.
So
I do think that time, you know, when they used to say 59 minutes from Coventry to London, hour and 10 or whatever from Chilton, now it's slipping back to an hour and 40 from Coventry. They've got to get that sort, because that will have an impact on us.
Yeah, and it was an hour and 8 minutes from them. Okay. And again, because of the various... other issues. I think too, I mean, Chilton, with whom I've had various discussions, have really worked hard to understand how to upgrade their rolling stock, their trains, because frankly, big diesel locomotives pollute, and they are a contributor to the air quality issues we've got in Leamington.
Yeah.
But they're going hybrid, which is very innovative, and they're needing government support for that. And I'm definitely keen to support that move. Mm. Chilton Railways are a key partner for us here in Leamington and Warwick. I've got to say too that this sense of the London, not London type feel is it plays both ways. I mean, one of the risks we've got is that, and I joke about this, but those trains that leave Leamington in the morning, you know, the 7:20, the 7:42, whatever it is, services, they are packed or were packed, and they were packed with high paid people leaving to go to London to work.
Yeah.
And then the trains coming in from places like Coventry and Leicester and so forth were our doctors, our nurses and our teachers and our council workers. And we need to make a more balanced community here, in my view. And that's where things like affordable housing becomes really important.
And it's easy to forget when you see the nice bars and nice restaurants. You know, that isn't for within everybody's reach. And you're quite right. You only have to look at the value of the automotive stock at Warwick Parkway Station to see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And it's got to be, you know, that there's it's got to be a communal advancement of economic fortunes for every sector of society, really.
Yeah, all boats rise on an incoming tide, so they say.
And so how will that work? So how can that become a thing?
Well, as a council, we've done a couple of things. One is in the current local plan, we've got a 4 out of 10 houses have to be built as affordable houses. Of those 40%, a third are roughly what they call shared ownership. So if you're coming in, you don't have to take a mortgage for all of it, but some of it, and you gradually buy it out over time. Another third are proper council houses that are run by our housing department, and which is good and important. And the final third is what they call social rent. So again, they're rented through housing associations and others. So it means that you keep a stock of houses that are mixed into these new estates. They're not all in one corner. So in a street, you'll see them pepper potted throughout the whole estate. And that keeps a more cohesive community. Yeah. But it does take planning intervention. The other thing is we started a housing company as a council called Milverton Homes.
Okay.
So we've entered the market to build houses and to build high quality, but also good environmentally net zero housing.
That's will part that of use local contractors as you can to build
correct
them?
Absolutely. Right. And we were able during COVID, because of those two things, our housing revenue account and Milverton Homes, to actually keep building houses, which meant these estates would otherwise have closed down their building over that 2 years, had a stock of homes that were already paid for by us that they could keep working on, and that kept those estates going. So our housing supply has kept up through the period.
And I think when you talk about differentiation in society, having and I've come across numerous ones in this area, it may be the same everywhere in the UK, firms with a conscience. And we work with, I mean, if you take this area, we work for AC Lloyd, the developers.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the amount of support they do that they don't want us to shout about, which always is frustrating, but I think is a really good thing because that means they're doing community good for the sake of
and
doing
community.
And they're
local. Their guys are local.
But there's any number of companies like that.
Yeah.
And we work for any number of them who really do care, A, about their workers, but also about the wider community. And it's a myth to think that business, yes, you go to work to have a nice job and to earn a wage, and that is the fund, and to make a profit.
Mm.
But actually, we're all in an ecosystem that if one bit breaks down, the whole thing breaks down. And I think most businesses, you know, you take the work experience example, there isn't a single business I know that if they're approached in the right way and it was reliable and everything else, wouldn't take on regular work experience people. I don't think we've been asked now for 2 years to take on a work experience I don't think, amazing. Unless they're under 16, I don't think we'd ever turn anybody down.
No.
So I think the majority of companies actually do have a good conscience.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I've got one starting tomorrow.
Yeah. Well done.
Well, they stay as well. That's the other thing.
Well, we never used to have apprenticeships, and then that was something we brought in. There isn't anywhere in this area, so they do it in Coventry. They go to Coventry to do their work. It's their apprenticeship. We have two every cohort. Mm. So when these two girls become therapists, we will then take another two, which keeps the movement of staff in the business. Mm-hmm. So if we were to lose some through natural wastage, you know, some become a parent or move out of the area or decide to do something different, we will have this little drip feed.
You can grow through the business.
Culture.
And you never want to lose them. But actually, over the years, we've had people who have left. So we took on, I think he went to Martin School, a chap called Dan Donovan, who came to us for work experience, went away and did his degree, came back to us after his degree, worked for us. He left. He's now a senior producer at Sky Sports.
Wow.
Another guy called Joe Hewison, who we stupidly allowed to have 6 weeks off because he got a job at 2012 doing PR for or working as a press officer for the IOC. He came back to us, to be fair. He now works at Man United.
Mm.
So actually, if you give business owners I know, if they give youngsters a chance who move on to something, it's not always going to be with you.
Yeah.
But actually, if you've made well-rounded citizens who have had successful careers, there's great pride in that, I think.
But there's a virtual circle there because very often you get business passed back to you. It's it's very, very
I genuinely believe powerful. That if, and I say to every staff member, if you leave me, leave the business better, more knowledgeable, more trained, more understanding, more commercial than when you join me, my work is done.
And as long as you leave in the right way.
Yeah,
that's the other thing I think.
That is true. Yeah. Don't burn your bridges.
Yeah, we've got a guy, and he won't mind me saying, a chap called Adam Manning, who Coventry University graduate, joined us having worked in PR for a while. Super, super guy. Out of all the best of intentions during lockdown, thought, I'm not really contributing to society. So this is a guy in his 30s, a couple of kids, left, join the police force.
Wow. Wow.
And he absolutely went with that, all of our best intention, because he did it in exactly the right way. He came to see us now. He's done his year and a bit and done what he needed to do, decided it's not for him long term. We've happily taken him back. He's happily rejoiced because we treated each other correctly. We treated each other right.
Some courtesy, common courtesy.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I could just turn for a final set of comments, because here we are. It is January. It feels like it's very quickly getting through January. And, of course, you'll be all preparing yourselves to celebrate Australia Day.
Of course.
Which is on the 26th of January.
We're holding a champions deliberately on that day.
Yeah, it is that morning we are. That's
you reminded me once we'd fixed the day.
For me, it's always the toughest day of the year, funnily enough, because that's the day, and I may have mentioned this in previous podcasts, but it's the day my mates in Australia invariably send me lots of photographs of them surfing and barbecuing, when usually it's wet and miserable here, and it's that one day where I think, should I get the old passport out again, but I won't, I'm sure. But I'm just thinking about the year ahead. We had a tough 22, I would say that. I think not just across the political domain, wars are never brilliant, and it showed in so many ways last year just how global we are now, how our economy and our world is so interconnected. And when you have something as awful as what is going on in Ukraine, and the economic implications, let alone the humanitarian ones, you know, we have to live with that. That does affect our back pocket and our way of life. But I'm hopeful for 2023, and I don't know what's your take on this. I'm going to first turn to you, Gerda. You've got your hat on from bid as well. You've got your ballot coming up. But what are you feeling in the year ahead? Are you hopeful it's going to be better than 22, or what are the opportunities you're seeing there?
You know, being in business for a number of years, we've been in business and been in sort of on the bid. Each year brings its own challenges, which also gives you the opportunity as well. So I think a challenge is an opportunity always. Yes. I think we have been through some challenging times, and I'm just thinking the next generation, when you talk to the next generation come through about things like illegal haircuts during COVID, you know, people are like, what was that? Was that even a thing? You know, and how we've already progressed from that. And I will take some positives out of what's happened. We changed from our business model. We ended up running two teams because if one got knocked out, we had the other team that could still deliver treatments. We've kept that model now, and that means that a team member will only ever work a 3 or a 4 day week, and we've gone 7 days, and the girls now don't actually want to change that back because it's given them a balance. And you know, it's a good balance when the girls aren't taking their annual leave, and I'm like, you need to take the rest of your annual leave. They're like, I do all the stuff on my weekends off.
Get out of here, go and have a holiday.
Yes, you must take some time off. So I'm literally throwing them out the door, which is a lovely problem to have. And it is looking at what are the good problems you've got to deal with, as well as the challenges. So what is our challenge? You know, we've got a challenging there's always at the moment you've got the utilities, the cost of your light and your gas is through the roof for businesses, and it's a challenge. I like the fact that BID and the council work closely together, and you know, where we can work regarding perhaps some planning around new businesses that want to come into the town, and if we can hold on to them and not scare them off would be great. And you know, I'd love a spa waters back in Leamington.
Wouldn't a spa hotel be stunning if we could get a great hotel?
Yeah, if you know anyone that's got a couple of quid in their back pocket, they'd like to.
Maybe there might be some news on that, something like that this year.
Fabulous, but keep doing what you're doing and keep learning. We've recently come back from 2 days of training in Dublin for Salon Owners Summit. Wow. So even though we've been in business as long as we have,
Salon Owners Summit. I've learned something today
in Dublin. Yes, it's been brilliant. It's tiring, long days. I didn't have the energy for the after party. I literally flew back.
It was
great. And this is where you learn. You learn things about what you can invest in your business, how to talk to the next generation, where our clients are, how do we get more of the clients we have. We're lucky 90% of our clients come through recommendation. You said, you know, people buy from people. Mm. So if you've gone somewhere and they do a great treatment and someone says to you, I need a new facialist, I'll go to mine. You go straight away. You don't even question it, you know? Whereas some people really struggle. So there's a lot of positives. And we've learned a lot of positives through COVID. Things we didn't want to do.
No.
We didn't want to go 7 days, but it's been one of the best things we've done for the team and the business. Using technology as we are today on podcasts.
Correct.
You know, it's forced us to move and change the way we work. My team can work and I'm not in the business anymore. That wasn't a thing before COVID, you know? And they're like, to the point that if I go in, I'm probably cause more trouble than I do solutions.
You get sent home, they kick you out the door and say, go on holiday.
My next five, there's going to be 15 people listening to this going, she's right.
You get in the way, don't you? You don't think you are. You think you're happy. They just look at you like, no, just leave. Just go to the office. We know what we're doing.
That's good, though. That's resilience. That's real resilience.
What a great congratulations again to have.
They're good problems to have.
And the big one is the beard, you know. We're here to support the business. We're probably the only support for the business as a single voice to help.
And it's very effective. It's a very effective voice.
Well, we want to shape Leamington for everybody because our clients are people that live in the area as well as out of the area. And our team live in the area as well. So it's what is right for our team, our clients, and, you know, the wider community. We all want to make a difference. Me and my business partner are both plant-based, you know. We try and use as much reusable. Our electricity is 100% renewable. So I think that's going to be a theme.
It will.
Sustainability.
Will. And actions speak louder than words. You can say all the right things, but actually what are you doing? And what you're sharing with us here is some real positive actions that you and your business have been taking.
After having my vegan cup of hot chocolate.
Very good. I've been drinking beer here with Adam. So for you, Adam, what's 23 look like for you?
Well, looking at different levels for Pilmer Advent, I think really exciting. It's, you know, we've got a lot of youngsters and now got a career ladder. There's opportunities. We've just had a guy, you know, Sam Jackson, has just done an exchange with a PR firm in Canada for 2 weeks. So there's lots of opportunities for that. It's been really good news for us. We're getting quite a lot of business inquiries. A lot of, you know, there's some business that will wobble in the year. Obviously, we've said the demise of the LEP will affect us, undoubtedly, but we are getting some good inquiries. I think we're lucky, as we said before, fortunate in this area that it is genuinely an area that is joined up and more joined up than it's ever been before. So, you know, Growth Hub, LEP, the councils. We deal with lots of areas across the UK who would give their eye teeth for that level of cooperation. That will help. I think there's some big questions. You know, we're talking as two small businesses. You know, what's the future of Jaguar?
Yeah.
Who are they going to be buying their batteries from? Are those batteries going to be made at the airport? You know, there's some big fundamental questions that, for all our optimism, will shape things that we can't help shape. So I think there's some big questions around that and some big things around government policy and moving to, you know, fully electric cars. That if we don't hurry up and the government doesn't start investing and making decisions and helping force the issue, rather than maybe being involved with what they've been involved with the last 6 months, the horse will have bolted and all the batteries will be made in Eastern Europe and the car manufacturers will follow them. So I think there's some big fundamental questions around that. But in terms of the level we operate at, I think the enthusiasm of people, the cooperation of people, I think it's set to be a good year, I think.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think that focus, if you like, on longer term strategic goals, whether it's in the way you run your business and the fact that you need to stay out of it a little bit and let your team crack on, is a really important long-term consideration about how you grow your business. But equally, I think regionally and for our infrastructure, the investment in things like our Gigafactory is just a major piece.
I have no idea if this is true, but somebody told me once that one of the cars, the highest proportion of cars that has a personalised number plate is a Range Rover Sport. So if you see a Range Rover Sport in this area that's got a non-personalised, chances are they're a Jaguar employee. Right. And you just look at the amount that you see. So there's still an awful lot of financial reliance on that. So I think the next 2 years, you know, there's a new chief exec to come in. I think that's operating interim at the moment.
Yes.
So I think there's some big things that we can't help shape that will be important. It'll be interesting if you trace back who spends money in your salon, where that money comes from. You know, exactly the same with us. So I think there's some big, there's global questions, regional questions, and local. On the local, I'm really confident. Regional, fairly confident. Who knows? If COVID has taught us one thing, it's people who make predictions, you can't trust the predictions as much as they used to.
No, and it's also taught us just how important local is.
Totally.
And it was often overlooked, but I think we learned that lesson during COVID.
And bizarrely, local on different levels, because actually, if you like, if we were reliant on our own generated power, you could say that's a local issue for the UK.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be in the position we're in now. So it's interesting.
Yeah, interesting thought. Yeah. Well, we could talk on.
We could.
Gerda, thank you very much for joining us today. And as well, Adam, for you.
Enjoy.
I know I'm just so pleased we got the diaries to align.
Yeah.
On Friday the 13th.
Yes,
I know. Could you ask?
Look with the ballot as well.
Yeah, and good luck for the ballot. We'll be going out next week on the 20th. Thank you very much for joining us for the local point. Goodbye, everybody. It's been great having you join our conversations today. Please share any comments or pose questions for future episodes by email to localpoint@icloud.com. Thanks for joining us.